On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, we continue our series breaking down the 2019-20 season for the Brooklyn Nets. Next up, Chris Chioza. All that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, continuing our player performance review and outlook series. We've done Jarrett Allen, Wilson Chandler, and now we're doing Chris Chioza today. So going kind of in descending height order, you know, we had the big man, then we had the wing. Now we have the smallest guy on the team. You know, if they bring Earl Boykins out of retirement, we can do him Thursday. If not, we're going to be ruining the nice little pattern that we have here. But Marcus, very excited to talk Chris Chioza.
Oh, yeah. Love the cheese man, as you dubbed him on yesterday's pod. I'm really excited to talk about him. He wasn't on the team for very long, like surprisingly, like a short amount of time for kind of the impact that I think he wound up having. But he did have that large impact that we saw in the bubble. And so there's like sneakily a lot to talk about with Chioza, I think.
Yeah, for sure. He came really out of nowhere, as you said, like played 18 games for the Nets. Like he'd bounced around a little bit before that, you know, despite a really, really good college career at UF. And obviously the really infamous buzzer beater, I think that was against Wisconsin, where he had like the running three, which was awesome. Didn't get drafted, you know, bounced around Houston, Wizards for a bit, and made his way to Brooklyn. And I think, you know, for a team that really lacked offensive creation, given some of the departures pre-bubble, you know, he was a guy that was necessary to give guys like Caris LeVert and Joe Harris a break and at least be able to create something. There was good, there was bad, there was basically everything in between, but it was a lot of fun to watch. And I think for Chioza, you know, he fills a need for the Nets that we had talked about basically throughout the entire year, and that they didn't have like that third point guard there that could come in, just be a good stopgap, keep the trains moving, similar to what they had last year in Shabazz Napier. And he was able to do, you know, a reasonable facsimile of that role, which was huge. And, you know, I think without him, they would have been pretty unwatchable in the bubble just because they had no one else and he was decent enough.
Yeah, and he brought something to the team in the bubble that really no one else was bringing aside from occasionally Rhody Krugs, which was like just energy and pace. And he really pushed the pace, and that was evident like even when his shot wasn't falling, which kind of happened towards the end of the seeding games. Those last five seeding games, he was basically like 33% shooting from the field and like worse than that from three. And so he didn't have his outside shot going, and yet in those five games, the Nets were 4-1. Chioza was like averaging like +8, +9 per game. So he was making a positive impact regardless of whether or not his shot was falling. And I think that was because he was getting guys involved. He was pushing the pace, which in turn kind of made everyone else like pick up their pace and kind of run with him on offense, knowing like, okay, if I fill this lane, if I run hard down the paint, like I can get an easy pass for an easy basket and kind of pad my stats a little bit. So I think the fact that he played so up-tempo and kind of like hectic at times, like lent itself to maybe some more turnovers, maybe some careless shots or passes at times, but it definitely gave the team like a jolt of energy and a spark that they weren't really getting from anywhere else. So his impact to me kind of went beyond his raw numbers, which were never really super impressive. And you can kind of see it in his plus minus.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Yeah. Just to kind of run through a bit of the stats on the cheese man, you know, he, in 18 games for the Nets, 15.4 minutes per game. And this is just regular season. We'll kind of get into his performance against the Raptors playoff series, which was not good. But he was averaging 6.4 points a game on 43% field goal percentage, let's say 36% from three, two boards and three assists. So obviously small minute sample size, but can't really do a lot there. But I think really things to harp on, good assists per minutes and, you know, decent enough three-point shooting.
Yeah, when he was making shots, he was really, really effective. And like we said, even when he wasn't, he was still pretty solid out there. But yeah, his true shooting percentage went up a ton from what he had done previously in the NBA. And I think a lot of that has to do with cutting out kind of the mid-range jumpers that he was taking with the Wizards and the Rockets, and really just sort of getting more analytically focused and taking basically only layups or threes. And that really boosted his percentages. His points per 36 minutes basically doubled from 8 to 15. So still not like an explosive scorer by any means. Like 15 points per 36 minutes is kind of just like fine. But he went from like a non-NBA player basically to a capable role player with the Nets.
To the darling of the bubble.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good point. Like he does a really nice job, I think, of just being able to create stuff out of nothing. Like he can get to a pull-up three pretty much whenever he wants to because he's so fast. Do you want that shot every time? No, but he can get it. And I think for a Nets team that was starved for creation and offense in the bubble, that was good. But when you look at where he's going to be on the team next year, I think that's an interesting thing to talk about because, you know, he'll probably be on the team just because, you know, he was fun to have. And, you know, the Nets definitely can use another ball handler given that your three main guards are all extremely injury prone in Kyrie, Din, and LeVert. But, you know, the Nets will have a roster now where, you know, they're going to have multiple offensive options on the floor that are better at any time than Chioza. So can he go from being the guy who's initiating a lot of the offense and it has a lot of room for mistakes just because there's no expectations to a guy that's kind of being the steady hand, like a Raul Neto, who I always point to, that can just get you into your set, hit a three off ball if you need to, make a play, but isn't the one who's going to be leading the frenetic pace just because it's not what he's being asked to do on the roster the Nets will hopefully have next year.
Yeah, he's interesting because his game, like, he can shoot from the outside, so you would think like, oh yeah, he can play off ball then, but so much of what he does is driven by, like you said, pushing the pace a lot of the times with the ball in his hands in transition and that sort of thing. And so he had that opportunity in the bubble and even down the stretch in March for the Nets, but like, is that going to be the case next year? Like, when he's on the court, will he ever be the guy who like is bringing the ball up the bulk of the time, or will he be sharing the floor with KD or with Dinwiddie or LeVert or Kyrie? Like, there's so many options for this Nets team in terms of guys who can handle the ball and playmake. And Chioza, I think, kind of found something a little bit in the bubble when he was coming off the bench with Tyler Johnson, who doesn't necessarily need to have the ball in his hands, doesn't need to be the guy bringing it up. When he was starting with LeVert, I think there were definitely times where like neither of them kind of really wanted to play off ball, and they both are kind of better with the ball in their hands. So Chioza's talent level doesn't really necessitate him getting the ball in his hands like this coming season, given how many options the Nets have. So that would kind of be my one area of concern for him, would be, can he be just sort of like a spot up guy? Can he do sort of like what Alex Caruso does for the Lakers, where he brings a ton of energy on both ends of the floor, even though he doesn't actually like run point and like handle the ball and kind of orchestrate the offense? He kind of finds other ways to bring that same energy and push the pace, maybe by like crashing the glass more and getting a rebound and taking it in sort of semi-transition. Like, he's got to find those other ways to push that pace and to bring that energy, as opposed to just like pounding the ball and kind of bringing it up and having everything run through him, because that's not going to happen next year.
Continue supporting restaurants in your community safely. There are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the US, Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. One more time, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he could really take a page out of the book of former Nets assistant, and I know, darling of you and I, Pablo Prigioni. Mm. You know, a guy that can just like be a pest on defense also with his energy and just getting up into guys, getting those random steals off the inbounds here and there. And I think that could be a huge way to contribute for Chioza. Because offensively, the big thing for him is going to be his three-point shooting. He was decent for the Nets, but when you look at kind of historically, he's very, very up and down. Like his career at Florida, he was like an okay he was actually a below average three-point shooter, you know, less than 33% for his career there, and it didn't really improve from his freshman year to his senior year. And obviously that's a shorter line. Then he comes to the G League, and you know, for that first season with the Capital City Go-Go, he was their Steph Curry, basically, you know, shot 42% from three, was a great three-point shooter, but then after that, really struggled, even in the G League this year, limited sample size because he was up and down a bit with the Wizards and the Nets, but 31% from three, you know, on six attempts a game, that's really bad. You know, we destroyed Wilson Chandler yesterday for similar things, and obviously Chioza's taking tougher attempts, more attempts off the dribble, but is that 36% that he shot more of an aberration? Like, if he regresses down to 32, 33, you know, I know it's small percentage points here, but that's going to make a difference. Just how teams respect him and play off him, and then that makes life difficult for the other guys. I think the one thing he has going is that he is a short point guard, and like those guys, basically in general, people just always think they're good shooters, even though they might not actually be.
Yeah, that's a good point. Also, like the difference between him and Chandler too would be like, if Chandler's not making shots, he's not doing anything else. Whereas Chioza is still making good passes, is still pushing the pace. And like we talked about at the very beginning of this podcast, like even in that run of games towards the end of the seeding games where he wasn't making shots, he was still having a positive effect on the floor, which you couldn't really say about Chandler. So just to draw a line between them two, like Chioza, I think, brings more to the table than just his shooting. But that being said, is he going to be able to have the opportunity to bring those things to the table next year? That's going to be tough. He's going to have to sort of adapt his game and find the places he can still contribute.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think like he should definitely be on the team because to our point yesterday, like he's about to turn 25 and you know, maybe he doesn't have a ton of upside, but he has a little bit and the jury's still kind of out on him. So like we talked about Wilson Chandler, like those Wilson Chandler and those veteran types should be kind of cast off for guys that are, you know, as good players as them right now, but have upside in Chioza. And I think he could definitely do that, especially working with guys like Jacques Vaughn, who was a really good defensive player when he was a player, Steve Nash, who obviously was a Hall of Fame offensive player. You know, is Nash going to turn Chioza into the next version of Steve Nash? I don't think we can rule it out, but probably not. No, I think we can rule it out, actually. So it's like, I don't know. I think getting a guy like him in a system that is very coachable has made a really good impression on the team thus far, and definitely has some potential and the ability to be, I think, a decent role player on both ends of the floor isn't something that can be, you know, just cast aside. I think he's going to be a nice player to have. I think there's going to be circumstances, unfortunately, which require him to get, you know, 15, 20 minutes a night for probably a stretch of games. If one of, you know, the three guys I mentioned before, Kyrie, LeVert, or Dinwiddie goes down, and I think they'll need Chioza in that sense. And the one thing that I think Nets fans can say, you know, given kind of what we saw in those 2014, 15, 16 years, is that having really, really bad point guard play is probably the worst thing ever. So it actually is, you know, it's not sexy and it's not going to be talked about by, you know, all the people on Twitter and ESPN and whatever. But, you know, having point guard depth is one of the most important things a team can have, because if you don't have anyone who's even capable of running an offense, it completely derails everything.
Yeah. And like, even though Kenny Atkinson's gone and we don't really know what sort of system Steve Nash is going to run, a lot of the infrastructure pieces are still there. And the Nets have had a lot of success in terms of like developing kind of out of nowhere point guards. And so that makes me sort of believe that maybe the positives that we've seen from Chioza can kind of carry over, just given like the track record of the team. Like I do think that they have something in terms of like coaching up point guards and putting them in positions to succeed. So maybe that makes like going with a guy like him a little bit of a safer pick, just because they've kind of shown that they can develop this kind of player in the past.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about his struggles against the Raptors in the playoffs? I mean, he was basically a little bit out of the rotation even at the start. and then, you know, got some run, a nice game, and what was it? Just an absolute throttling. I guess the game three and game four were basically not even close at all. But, you know, he did struggle a bit against some of the better defensive teams, which is totally natural given the lack of other talent he was surrounded with. But I'm curious if you have any comments on his play against the Raptors.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a really tough matchup for him because, like we've talked about this whole podcast, his whole thing, his whole, like the positives that he brings are his energy and the fact that because he's so small and has, like, a quickness advantage over basically anyone who's matched up against him, that allows him to kind of push the pace and get things going for his team offensively. But against this Raptors team who has Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet, who are both kind of undersized and who are both really quick, Lowry more so than VanVleet, but they can both kind of stick with Chioza, and it's kind of like they're both just like better versions of him. And so he didn't really get that matchup advantage that he would have maybe against, just to like throw a name out, like a guy like Ben Simmons, who's maybe like a bigger point guard, who's a phenomenal defender, but like maybe can't quite keep up with the quickness of Chioza at times and sort of like the low to the ground side to side movements that he can do. And so that matchup was really tough, and it was only four games. He barely played the first two games, I think, because Jacques Vaughn kind of knew like that the matchup wasn't great, and then he kind of just needed to try something out, especially with no Joe Harris in games three and four. So Chioza got a little bit more run, and I think the results were kind of like what you would expect, where he'll score some points, he'll get some assists, but like he's not going to make as big of an impact as he normally would, just because the Raptors just had the right guys to match up against him. And so, like you said, I think given like where he is as a player, that's totally reasonable that like one of the best defensive backcourts in the league would stifle him and kind of limit what he can do to an opponent. But I think he still definitely has a role, and given the right matchup, I think he could have thrived a little bit more.
The improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before. They've got 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut options. Here are the six new flavors. You've got caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. Those sound incredible. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and great for the keto diet. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off of your next order. Once again, use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
That's fair. That's fair. It was a really uphill battle and impossible scenario for him and basically all of the Nets, as we saw. And just, oh my God, I'm just looking at the box scores now. Like, I forgot how game two was fun and close, and Nets got off to a good start in game one, but I'm just looking at like 24 point loss, 25 point loss, 28 point loss. Yeah, was not, nah, just reliving the playoffs was not fun. You do have a couple fun stats here in the miscellaneous for Chioza that I'm just looking at in our rundown. You want to run through some of these?
Yeah, the first one was just, I was like stunned by this. He's only taken 5 free throws in his career, and his career hasn't been that long, so it's not like a crazy thing. Maybe it's just like an outlier. He's played 35 games though, and he, this season with the Nets, I think averaged 0.1 free throw attempts per game, which I think would be a trip to the line once every 20 games, basically, for two shots. Yep. So, yeah, that, I mean... That surprised me just because of like how fast he plays, how often I felt like he drove into the paint, and a lot of those times he kicked out, but I feel like he went up for layups a lot and would have drawn more fouls. So that surprised me. They only took 5 free throws in 35 games.
I can't believe he never took a free throw in a Wizards uniform. That's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. Cause he does. It's not like he's just standing on the outside and like, not even entering the 3-point area, but even then you should get fouled on a 3 every now and then, at least. Like, maybe he's too fast and he's just blowing by the defender that they can't even keep up to him.
Right, they can't even reach out to foul him.
Yeah, it's
like, with Chandler, who we talked about yesterday, like, he doesn't have a ton of free throw attempts, but that's because he's kind of just standing still on offense.
We were ripping on him for like taking a free throw once every 3 games.
Yeah. Chioza like is constantly moving, and I guess maybe to your point, maybe he's just moving too fast to get fouled.
Yeah, he's just so frenetic. That's, I think that's actually one of the most impressive stats I've ever seen. Like, that takes a lot of work. I might tweet this out because this is crazy. And then also, I love that you said Chioza played over 400 minutes a season. Only three of them were on a Monday.
Yeah. I was just, like, looking through his, like, splits to see if there was anything interesting. And I was, like, looking, and then I saw, like, oh, on this particular day of the week, he's averaging, like, nothing. And then I looked, and it was because he played literally 3 minutes out of 400. That was surprising. I mean,
I love that ESPN, or, like, an ESPN and Basketball Reference break it out by day of the week. It's like, who cares?
Yeah, that's one of those, like, on a Tuesday afternoon when the weather is over 80 degrees, like, this guy is unbeatable. Like, Chioza, on a Monday, he's not getting out there.
So. Yeah, exactly. I think maybe people just like to see it to see if people take a dip on, like, Saturday and Sunday, and then they can attribute it to, like, partying the night before.
Yeah, the J.R. Smith rule.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Sunday matinee in MSG. I would also love if Chioza, like, all five of his free throw attempts were in that 3 minutes on a Monday. Nothing else the other Tuesday through Sunday.
It's a Monday. He's barely playing, and he's only shooting free throws.
Yeah, exactly. He's just he's like a James Harden on Mondays. He's just getting on at a pace that no one has ever seen before.
I love Chioza's Monday Harden. That's great.
Yeah, exactly. I would love to get that as his Basketball Reference next game. But I think we're both in agreement that he should be on the team next year from a sheer entertainment standpoint. But, you know, where do you fall on this? Do you think he can be, you know, a decent enough third point guard, break in case of emergency for a contending team like the Nets aspire to be next year?
I do. I think he brings, like, a lot of things to the table, and he doesn't take a ton of things off. And, like, if you're down to him as the guy who you're relying on, like, as we saw in the bubble, you're probably not going anywhere anyway. I think for him to have an impact, it would have to mean that, like, a lot of other guys got hurt, or he made some kind of big step forward in his game. And I think either way, I'm good having him on the roster. I think he does have some upside, like you said. He's still currently 24. He'll be 25 next season. And yeah, he's really just scratched the surface. Like we said, even though he's 24, going to be 25, we also said he's only played 35 games in his career. So that's less than half a season. So we've really barely seen Chris Chioza at this point. And already I feel like he kind of progressed in his time with the Nets from that run in March that started with the crazy Caris LeVert game, the overtime win over the Celtics. And then I felt like he was even better, or maybe just as good, in the bubble in August with more playing time, with more attention on him, with more defensive focus on him outside of, you know, the Raptor series. So I definitely think he's on a good trajectory, and given how little he's actually played in the NBA, I do want to see more from him.
Yeah, no, I think there's some low-hanging fruit there, and just things like shot selection and cleaning up a bit about, you know, when to push and be aggressive, when to not, that can make him an even better player. And he's not going to take anything really off the table at this point. And also just a really fun guy to have around and to watch. Yeah. You hear Ian Eagle call his name. So a lot of positives on Chris Chioza, and we'll be very excited to see him back on the Nets next year, which I think is very likely, given that he was one of their darlings of kind of Feb and March before things shut down, and also of the bubble. So all two thumbs up from both of us on Chris Chioza. That's going to do it for us today on Chioza. Fun one. Marcus, who do we have coming up tomorrow?
Josh, coming up next, Nick Claxton.
Ooh, I'm very
excited. Talk about him, and then we'll get into Dinwiddie after him. And yeah, we got some good players coming up. I mean, there's the Nets have had probably like 30 guys on their roster at various points, so there's a bunch we could do. But Claxton will be next, so I'm excited to talk about him, even though I wanted to see more from him this year just in terms of like games on the court, but we'll get into that.
Yeah, and well, we also have to talk online about skipping over Jamal Crawford as well, which I noticed that you slyly did.
Well, we skipped Justin Anderson too, so I just assumed.
You know, this, I think there's a little more there with Crawford. We'll just do like a minute on him and tack it on to the Claxton one probably.
That's fine. He played literally like 5 minutes for the Nets.
Yeah, it's something. But we'll talk about the Nets. I think their second youngest player, only a month older than Janan Musa, Nick Claxton. It should be some good nuggets there. But until next time, be well.
Bye.